First game of the day, Jason, is Chicago at Detroit. Let's start there. Interesting for the Lions. They've lost two in a row. Those are the two games in which Megatron came back. Not that they're better without him, but when you thought maybe their season was doomed as he needed to take a break, they actually played better football, and at 7-4, they got the Bears. This is must-win stuff.
Yeah, it's a big game for them. I mean, I think, you know, some people are making a lot out of the two straight losses, and I mean, I guess I get it, and there's certainly been people waiting for the other shoe to drop with Detroit. Are they really this good? But, I mean, let's look at who they've lost to quality teams, you know? And then when they've played inferior teams or teams that maybe aren't quite as physical as they are, they've suffered. But, I mean, going out to Arizona losing by one score, I mean, at that time, Arizona hadn't lost a game in, what, 6 weeks. And then, geez, New England, come on. I mean, we'll see what New England does in Green Bay, but no one looked like they're beating New England. Right now, especially not in New England. So I think they take care of business today on CBS and hammer a Bears team that is not good at all. And the Bears, I mean, people will look at it and say, well, the Bears have won two in a row. Well, they've played crappy teams and they've struggled. I mean, if anybody watched them play Tampa Bay last week, I mean, it was physically hard to watch that game. It was being played at such a poor level and the Bears were lucky to win at home. So, you know, to me, logic and reason says the Lions get back on track today, but it's a rivalry game. It's a short week. Crazy stuff tends to happen in some of these games.
Yeah. You know what? Staying with the Bears for a moment, what your thoughts on the future for Jay Cutler in Chicago?
I mean, the way that contract's structured, he's going to be there at least one more year. You know, he'll make his $18 million next year. And then if they, you know, I don't know if they'll have the same coaching staff. I don't know if they'll have the same general manager. Certainly a lot can change in this league in a year, and they may very well have a new coach and general manager this offseason anyway, but I can't imagine that family giving him $20 million in year one and owing him another $18 and being willing to bite the bullet on that deal. I mean, that thing is, he's pretty much bound to them until 2016. But this is who he is. I mean, people still talk about him like he's a young quarterback. This is like his eighth year. I mean, this is it. Like, this is what you get. There'll be some incredible moments where he makes a couple throws and you're like, man, you fall in love with his arm talent. But the mind has to be connected to the arm and the heart. And that's a leadership position. And when you're a laissez-faire guy and you don't rub everybody the right way and you're tied for the league in turnovers, you're going to get people fired and, you know, you're going to create problems for your organization. And he has, especially when he's the highest paid player in the league this year. He's making $22.5 million in this year. Jeez. In 2014, more than anybody else in the NFL.
Yeah. He is Jason Lackenfor, our NFL insider, joining us on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet Hotline. Lube City, a change for the better, featuring Mobile One, the official motor oil of NASCAR.
Jay, I'm fascinated by this afternoon game. You've got Dallas hosting Philadelphia. They're tied in the NFC East. These are two good football clubs, but how do they match up and what's at stake? Can one of these teams still win the division if they lose today?
I think it's possible, but not necessarily probable. I mean, the interesting thing about both these games, that game and then the San Francisco-Seattle game, is I think they both play, obviously they both play today, and then I think they both come around and play each other again in 2 weeks. So it's you know, that's going to, and now everyone thought that Seattle and San Francisco would settle that division. Arizona's had something to say about that. But yeah, I mean, the Eagles or the Cowboys are going to win that division. The question is, does the other one get in as a wild card? You know, and that's to be determined. I don't buy either team's defense, but their offense is generally good enough that they keep that defense off the field just enough to win. Will that be able to work today? I'm not sure. I mean, Mark Sanchez threw two picks last week. He's going to turn the ball over. The Eagles, the crazy thing about the Eagles is they've got 27 giveaways, which is by far the most in the league. Yet they're still 8-3. If you look at the other nine teams in the bottom 10 in terms of takeaways, the other nine teams that have given the ball away the most, they're like a combined 60 games below 500. Like the Eagles stick, you look at all these teams' records and you're like, my God, like the odds would say if this is who the Eagles continue to be, they're going to look a lot more like those other nine teams bunched with them than they look like the teams who aren't turning the ball over in terms of their records. So I'm just wondering, they've scored 12 return touchdowns in 11 weeks. I mean, that's a record pace. I mean, in the history, you go back and look at those stats. Usually, if a team's at 10, 11, 12 return scores in an entire season, they're leading the league. These guys have done 12 and 11 games. I don't know that can continue. Maybe it does, but that's what intrigues me about the Eagles. I mean, you know Chip Kelly's going to run the ball. You know they'll hit some big plays on offense. But I just wonder about that turnover ratio, and I wonder about that defense.
Tony Romo's got this reputation of a guy that can be good, but the bigger the stage, the more he seems to struggle. I don't know how much of that is myth versus backed up with stat, but do you start to worry about him when you get closer to December? Because he has had some epic collapses in his career in Dallas.
He has, but I also feel like he never gets enough credit for kind of single-handedly getting his team back into some of those games. And to me, that game against Denver last year, if you remember that one, I mean, I think it ended up being 42-38 or something like that. I mean, the Cowboys were not very good. The Broncos were world beaters at the time. And Denver got up, and Romo just took the game over. I mean, I think at one point he was like 35 for 38. He was averaging like 15 yards per passing play. I mean, it was incredibly efficient. He gets him back into the game, and then he throws the pick at the end. But you can't discount what he did to get them back in the game. And I think he's a hell of a quarterback. I mean, people compare him. Like, anyone who puts him and Cutler in the same sentence to me, is that's mind-boggling. I think Tony Romo is a much better quarterback than Jay Cutler. And he's certainly a better leader, and he's certainly a guy that rallies people around him and people want to play for and with. So I don't think Tony Romo's the problem there. I just think that team has been built like a fantasy football team most years. And they finally got their offensive line together a little bit this year, over the last couple of years, and got a real offensive line coach in there like Coach Callahan. And that's helped Tony as much as anything. And, they were always imbalanced. In the past, they just wanted to throw. You know, they're riding DeMarco Murray. So I think all that goes into the equation. And I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the year we're looking at statistics and you start making a case for Tony Romo as an MVP.
Good points. The night game is going to be fantastic. Seattle, San Francisco, always special when they meet, but both teams are 7-4. And as you mentioned, Arizona's a couple games better than both those squads. There's probably not room for three in the division. This feels huge.
Yeah, it is. And again, they play again in 2 weeks. And if Seattle can get the upper hand here on the road, then you know that the 49ers are coming in there in 2 weeks, literally playing for their season, just getting swept. Either of these teams getting swept in these two games likely precludes them going to the postseason. It's a toss-up game. I like what Seattle's doing right now. I mean, Russell Wilson, he's running the football better than anybody in the NFL. He's averaging 8 yards a carry. He's got 250 yards rushing in the last three games. And Marshawn Lynch in the month of November is one of the top five rushing leaders in the NFL as well. So after the Percy Harvin trade, they recalibrated who they are and what they think they can do. And they're kind of going old school, bare knuckle. You know, we're going to just try to run it down your throats. And given some of the issues on their offensive line and pass protection, frankly, that's probably what they have to do. And let's face it, the 49ers are a very limited offensive team right now. And they've kind of made the same decision. Like, you know what? We don't have it going downfield. We'll take our shots here and there. But in the meantime, we got to reestablish Frank Gore. We got to get this kid Carlos Hyde some carries, and we're going to have to use read option looks from Kaepernick as well to try to have him beat teams with his feet. So I think they're kind of at similar stages, and they're kind of similar teams. You watch those teams play, and you see that they're kind of built to beat the other. It's pretty interesting, and I think a couple of young pass rushers can settle this game. Alden Smith has gotten better each of the 2 weeks back from suspension. You know he'll be fired up for this game. And as I said, Seattle's got some issues defending the protecting the quarterback. And Bruce Irvin, you know, he's a guy who has a lot of talent, a young pass rusher for Seattle, but very inconsistent. And can he bring it? You know, he had a great game over the weekend. Can he bring it twice in 5 days? And if he can, San Francisco could be in some trouble.
Jason Lockenfora, our NFL insider for Shanks Sports Grill. Today, all day at Shanks, the turkey, the fixins, and the football. A couple of, I guess, controversial quarterbacking notes this week. The Jets going back to Geno Smith, and in Washington, it's Colt McCoy. I guess I kind of understand the Jets. You're 2-9. The season's lost. You're going back to Geno, I guess, to give him more time. What do the Redskins stand to benefit in sitting down RG3?
Nothing. I mean, well, they were so limited in what they thought they could do with this kid last week. They ran a Pop Warner offense where they didn't even attempt to get the ball anywhere downfield. So you start running the risk of having guys like Deshaun Jackson, who hasn't always been a happy camper anywhere he's been, and who brings some baggage. You have now you're a young rookie coach, Jay Gruden, and you're like, okay, So this is one of our highest paid players. We can't even remotely get the ball to him with RG3 at quarterback. We're running this rudimentary stuff, trying to build this kid up. And I'm doing this at the risk of losing some of my veterans. So he's going to do what makes sense for him. You know, he's trying to establish himself as an NFL head coach. RG3's not going to be there next year. So why am I going to go to war with these guys who will be here? So, you know, he's kind of doing the path of least resistance for him. The idea that they're resuscitating RG3 this offseason or that he has some future in Washington is poppycock. It's ridiculous. They're just trying to create some trade value for him. There won't be much. They'll cut him. Somebody will sign him as a developmental quarterback. And at age 24, maybe he still has a future. It's not going to be in Washington. But I would have played Kirk Cousins, if anything else. I mean, you go back to that 2012 draft. You trade 76 picks for RG3. You trade a first rounder, a second rounder in that draft. You take an offensive lineman who can't play at all in the third round. Then your fourth round pick in that same draft is Kirk Cousins. They're not even putting him on the field. I mean, Colt McCoy hadn't started a game in 3 years until that Monday night game where he beat Dallas. So they're trying to do something now. It's not going to work in the present or the future. And they're a lost organization, and they'll probably remain that way as long as they have the people making decisions there that they do. The Jets, yeah, I mean, Mike Vick's got nothing left. I'm surprised they rode with him as long as they did. And that's a case where the coach definitely won't be back. I'd be very shocked if the general manager's back and nobody in the market for a new quarterback and a new management team, and we'll see what direction they go in. I wouldn't be stunned, knowing that owner a little bit, I wouldn't be stunned if RG3 ends up with the Jets.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? Interesting that maybe 2 or 3 degrees of separation. One of the teams that's really been impressive here over the last month or so has been the St. Louis Rams, maybe more than that. And, of course, that's the team that really benefited from the RG3 trade. And some of the assets that came in that trade are starting to pay dividends for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit slower going than they'd like. And, you know, they haven't had any stability.
And they don't have their quarterback.
Which has held them back. Yeah, they've had no stability to quarterback position. I can't imagine Sam Bradford's back there next year. I mean, if they pay him $14 million coming off back-to-back ACL after already paying him over $50 million, then they need their heads examined. I like what they've done. They haven't hit on all those draft picks. And some of them, again, the Ogletrees have been a little slow to come along. Janoris Jenkins, he flashes. But, I don't think you could call him an elite cover corner yet. The kid they drafted, Aaron Donald, has really come on last year's first-round pick. You know, but they missed on Tavon Austin. I mean, they traded up to get Tavon Austin, and he barely gets on the field. I mean, that coupled with not having a quarterback has really killed them. But, they're competitive week in, week out. They should have beat San Diego last week. We know they beat Seattle. They've had some other teams on the ropes. They just can't close, and they've got to figure out the quarterback position.
I love the action today, but Sunday afternoon and evening is going to be sensational. New England, Green Bay, and probably the battle of the two teams going the best at this juncture of the season. And then Denver, Kansas City, that'll have a lot to do to say in determining the AFC West, in my opinion. How do you see those games playing out?
I like Denver there. I like how they're running the football. They like this kid, C.J. Anderson. They went through about a 2 or 3 week period where Peyton Manning was getting hit way too often. And there was definite concern there about how we're going to sustain this for another 7-8 weeks, including the playoffs. So I think Kansas City, if Denver just sticks to that run game, Kansas City's horrible against the run, giving up over 5 yards a carry. I mean, that's the way I expect Denver to attack them. And New England, Green Bay, boy, oh boy. I mean, which quarterback has the ball in his hand last, right? I mean, that could settle that one.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that one's going to be, we need new bulbs on the scoreboard after that contest.
Jay, enjoy your Thanksgiving. We are jealous, but we'll celebrate as best as we can up here. Enjoy the football, man. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. I'll save some turkey for you.
Thanks, buddy.
Love it.